Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High in studio with you this morning. And on the line we have with us this morning, we have Representative Richard Prell. Mr. Prell, good morning. How are you doing today, sir?
Well, good morning. I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Prell, you guys have been very, very busy up there in Topeka. A lot of bills getting passed and you know, like I said, it's been really busy. So if you can let us know some of bills maybe that have been passed and some bills you're also working on.
Sure. Well, this week is turnaround week, which means everything that the House has done will go over to the Senate and vice versa. And so we spent quite a lot of time on the House floor this week. In fact, we debated and passed 38 bills out of the House this week. So it has been a busy week. The Senate, I'm not sure how many they ended up passing. We finished up Wednesday evening. They went on the Senate floor yesterday and then had 12 to 15 bills that they were going to try to work. So I haven't heard how they came out. You know, one of the bills that we spent quite a lot of time debating was the CAPERS refinance bill, which was, you know, the governor's cornerstone of her proposed budget. And what she was asking to do was to refinance the CAPERS plan. And the problem that I and a lot of people have with that, when you re-amortize it, it's kind of like when you've got a 30-year mortgage on your house, paid it back, that you paid on it for 15 years, so it's paid down to where you're really paying on the principal quite a lot, and then you refinance it again for 30 years. And this is what the governor was proposing on CAPERS. On the unfunded liability, the problem I have with that is it would have added $4.4 billion to that bill. So our kids and our grandkids and their kids were going to be paying that. So with the bill, what happened was Representative Jim Kelly was the one that went down to do this, is to remove the reamortization part of this program, of this bill, and leave the payments as the governor proposed. And in the end, after a lot of debate, that's where we ended up. Last year, you know, we rejected basically the same plan. And so this year, what's amazing is 100% of the other party voted no on you know, allowing this to be re-amortized too. So it ended up being unanimous is what we did, and I feel really, really good about that. You know, some other things that they tried to do on the CAPERS bill was to put a COLA on for our public retirees. And, you know, I respect what our former employees have done, and you know, they paid into CAPERS, and it is a defined benefit that they have, and you know, it can never go down. And if they use up all the money they've put into it, they still will draw it for the remainder of their life. But there was a push to get some get a COLA on that, and we just had to reject that because not because we don't care about our former employees and our current employees. It's a matter of dollars and cents, and you know, we have an unfunded liability that we're working really, really hard to get in a better situation, and it is better. When we started on this a few years ago, the unfunded liability was we were only there at 58%. Now we've got it up to 60%. A little over 66%, and we're pushing to get that caught up, and that's what this will do by not re-amortizing this. It will have it in actuarial balance by the year 2033, and I just feel like we need to make sure that our contract with our CAPERS employees and retirees is that we get that up to where it is funded, and there's not a chance of the state defaulting, you know, CAPERS defaulting, and we're moving in that direction, and it's very positive. And so I regret that we can't give the employees a COLA raise, but I think we have to look out for the entire system and make sure that it's well funded.
Absolutely, sir. So also other things that have been going on up there, of course, you know, the big couple of big things that have been going on. One of them is the Medicaid expansion. How did that work out, or is that still being discussed as of right now?
Medicaid expansion right now is hung up in the Senate committee. They haven't been able to bring it out of committee and get it to where it could be debated on the Senate floor. There was an amendment brought this week in the House to try to bring it up for a vote. But quite frankly, there's no reason for the House to bring it up and vote on it. We've voted on it twice and passed it, and the Senate has failed to do so. So it needs to come from that side. And it's being held up because we haven't been able to, on the House side, pass the constitutional amendment having to do with abortion. And yeah, it's political games is what it is. And unfortunately, there are some played on the state level, not near to the extent that they play them on the national level, but there are some political maneuvers made on the state level. So we're kind of hung up on that at this point in time. When the House voted on the constitutional amendment, the vote was 80 in favor of it. It takes a supermajority, which is 84. And I know leadership is working with Republicans trying to garner those other four votes. And I know there's conversations going on with a number of our colleagues on the other side of the aisle to see if somebody, you know, two or three or four over there could possibly see their way to vote for it. So that's going on at this point in time, and it continues.
Basically, you got to have some negotiating to try to get somebody come from the other side of the aisle to get over there, because, like you said, you need 84 for supermajority on that. Only have 80 votes right now, but I'm guessing there's still some kind of negotiations going on to try to get at least four people back from the other side. Correct?
Right. It's going on a daily basis. Absolutely.
I think that's what a lot of people don't understand when you're you know, a representative or, you know, a state senator, I think a lot of people don't understand. There is a lot of negotiation that has to go on because not everybody's going to get all of what they want. There's got to be a lot of compromise in a lot of things, correct?
There's got to be a lot of compromise. Compromise is not a dirty word. You know, when we pass something and the people on the right are saying, I don't really like this, but I can live with it. The people on the left are saying, well, I don't really like it either, but I could live with it. So they come together someplace in the middle. That's probably a pretty good indication that was good legislation.
Yes. And when you can get both sides to kind of go, you know what, I can live with this.
That's right.
That's the best time is when you get a compromise, and then you get both sides that are absolutely happy with the bill, and then everybody wins at that point, in my opinion.
Everybody wins. And that's the thing that we always have to keep in mind. It's not what we, as an individual, what we want, it's what is best for the state of Kansas and our constituents.
Absolutely, and the area that you serve. So you guys are definitely working hard up there, and we definitely appreciate all the work that you are doing up there. So Medicaid expansion is kind of tabled right now as it's hung up over in the Senate, and you guys are still trying to get the four votes over for the constitutional amendment for abortion that happens sometimes. So when is the Kansas legislative session end, where unfortunately some of these bills may end up just, you know, kind of dying on the table?
Well, anything that has been brought above the line and worked or blessed will end up being gone at this point in time on both sides. But actually, once we finish the first week of April, then everything is pretty much as it's going to be until we go into the veto session, which is in the last week of April. And then veto session is scheduled for about 2 weeks. And then we try to wrap everything up. And that's when we can make some change in the in the budget with the omnibus bill. And so there's still plenty of time to make some progress and make some good moves this year.
All right. Well, Mr. Perrell, I thank you so much for coming on today. We always appreciate you taking a little bit of time out of your day to talk with us and let everybody know what is going on up there in Topeka. You guys are very, very busy. So, again, I appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your day to talk to us.
It's always my pleasure. And thank you. And everybody have a great weekend.
All right. You have a great weekend, too, Mr. Perrell. All right, that was Representative Richard Perrell talking about lots of different things that go on up there in Topeka. There's, you know, you got negotiations going on for the constitutional amendment for abortion. Also, the Medicaid expansion bill kind of hung up in the Senate, but, you know, that could still maybe get out there, but it's kind of hung up over there. And lots of other bills that were passed. So, again, they are working hard up there. You know, sometimes it's just a lot of negotiation, like you said, and you got to make compromises. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we will have some Fox News at the top of the hour, and then we'll have some local news from Brandon Tadman. You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.